Oh, this sounds awesome.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dual Screens Podcast. This is the internet's number one indie developer interview podcast, probably. Everyone in the gaming industry, be it a program, an artist, or a voice actor, everybody has a story to tell, and we want to be their place to do it. The show posts each and every Friday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our YouTube channel, youtube.com/DualScreensTV. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana. With me, as always, is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I feel really good about this one already. Like, really, really good.
Oh, do you?
We spent some time with our guests prior to recording, and it's going to be...
We were early.
A fuck ton of magic, yeah. I feel.
Sure.
It's going to be magical.
Sure.
All around.
Mm-hmm. It's going to... Yeah. Well, we'll see. No pressure, guys. Joining us this week is Dennis McCory and Lester Reynoso of Possum House Games. Developers of Shot in the Dark, a Western tale of bloody vengeance, rituals, and teeth in the dark. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having us. We are also totally pumped. This is going to go fine.
I literally have no idea what to expect. So
if you keep saying it's going to be fine over and over again, you could possibly will it into existence. We'll
right.
See.
I mean,
it
won't be doing. Mantra right there. It's literally that meme is our office.
You love to see it, ladies and gentlemen. Folks, if you like what you hear here, you know, and you're listening on like some sort of podcast net thing, just like review the show or something, you know, like leave a little 5-star if you're listening on the all Apple Podcast Network or something like that. You know what I mean? And if you're watching on youtube.com/DualScreensTV, subscribe to the channel, hit the thumbs up, share it amongst your friends. That's the best way to help out the show. Tell people that we do the show. It's not really difficult. Just like you have social media probably. You'd be like, yo, these guys interviewed like almost 200 indie developers of games that we love and games we forgot about and games that never came out, which has happened before. But they do it, and they do it each and every week. And if you want to support us with your hard-earned cash dollar bills, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice, Nestler, and FNH Paul. Again, we cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So please, please, please head over there. And just $1 gets you into our Discord and, you know, bonus episodes and all sorts of interactive goodies. All right. It is time to jump. We're just going to dive right in here. And we're going to do it with our lead-off question of the show. Andy, take it away.
Thank you, Stephen. Now,
you're welcome, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you. I could ask our guests what it's like being in the indie dev game scene up in Rochester, New York. Because it's I'm curious about that. What it's like making games up in Rochester. I could ask them about their history, what they've worked on prior to this title, what they've done in the past, mm-hmm. you know, sure. their experience, their roles in the company.
Sure.
But I have a more burning question.
Mm-hmm.
It burns from within, like a raging, ones. Like a raging STD. If
wow, my God. God,
this is fair.
Quite the lead up.
This is good. I like where this is going.
Gentlemen, what's it like knowing that your game is one letter away from being called Shit in the Dark?
This is a great question. This is hard-hitting journalism.
It
here,
is,
folks.
It is.
As a matter of fact, I'm cracking open a nice cold one, and we're going to get right into this bad boy. So, why did you make a game called Shit in the Dark? Expound.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Daddy, take it away.
Okay, sure, I got this. No problem.
This is why people hire PR, by the way. This is why there are PR.
We
firms
did
that
hire
vet out
PR.
A process. They didn't vet this show out, that's for sure.
Oh man, we did. But anyway, the only thing I can say about our title is there's actually a running joke because apparently, like, we came up with this name, and it turns out like 30 other people wanted it, including another local game dev. And that's been a running joke. But literally we launched and I got like this actually really sad like message in like our Discord DMs, just like, oh man, we've been working like 2-3 years on this game and we're calling it Shot in the Dark, but you guys beat us to it. Looks really good. So that's what I can say to that. As for Shit in the Dark,
that's been enough title we started making, but you know, it just didn't hit really well with the community.
Yeah. How do you reply to those messages? Like tough shit or like tough titties? what do you say to those people?
We got so the local first. Guy, yeah, yeah, to our good friend who is probably listening, we're like, yeah, that sucks. It's ours. you do it. To our friend, yeah. But yeah, to that one guy, I was like, oh, no, I'm really sorry. That sucks. But haha, mine.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a shot in the dark yet, honestly.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's just a turn of phrase. Like, I know not the first person to like, oh, that's a great title for a thing, for a game that has light mechanics, because no one's done that before.
You know, you would not have gotten a Discord DM if it was shit in the dark. You would have been guilt-free, folks. Guilt-free. All right.
I feel like a missed opportunity, yes. But,
For those who have no idea what the hell shot in the dark is, why don't you tell everybody what it is?
Oh, boy. Okay, so it's kind of a weird game. Shot in the dark is... All right, here's my elevator pitch. It's three kind of unique mechanics tied together. One, it's a platformer. Pretty basic, like 2D pixel platformer. But it's also the gameplay. You have to like right click to draw your gun, and like you click on your enemies, kind of like an old 90s point and click shooter.
Sure.
Almost like a light gun game.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also combined with a third element, which is the game is black, white, and red. And a lot of the enemies and obstacles and traps blend in with the environment. So there's this constant tension of like, you have to find your enemies and they're hard to see. If you draw your gun, you can't move. So if you want to be offensive, you make yourself really vulnerable. So it's this really tight kind of back and forth. Just trying to like not get eaten, but also find your targets. And it's just really quick, tense gameplay. Lester, did I miss anything?
That's a pretty good explanation of it. Andy, Steve, I don't know if you guys had a chance to play the game. I think a couple of occasions you might find that, having played the game many, many times myself at this point, one of the messages that really comes across is, fuck you, get good. So...
Sure. Yeah.
You guys can tell me whether or not I'm right about that. I don't know if you guys got the same sense, but...
Yeah, and I'm not a mouse and keyboard kind of guy, so it's like double fuck you from me.
Hi.
Like, I don't know things. WASD. I don't do that shit.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more used to it, so I think it shouldn't be too out of my element. So where did the concept come from? Talk about the genesis of this bad boy. Where did it come from?
I was honestly just experimenting, just like playing with different ideas. I was actually like experimenting with like a point and click kind of shooter, kind of like little prototype, and I was like, oh, this would be really easy to do. Because as an indie, we try to like thread that needle of like doing a lot with a little.
Right.
It's like, I've got two sticks and a rock. What can I make with that? So I was playing with that idea. And then like I was playing, like I saw like what Minute did with just like a black and white aesthetic. I was really intrigued by that as an artist. And I was like, oh, wow, that's just, it just looks so cool. And it does so much with so little. So I was just kind of in that headspace, and I was listening to the Red Dead Redemption soundtrack, and then I was like, what if I...
It all makes sense now.
Recipe, yeah. Right.
Exactly.
So yeah, it started off as like a prototype for like, I was going to do a Little Red Riding Hood kind of little game where like you're just like this little red like character moving through the woods, and I thought it'd be cool to just see the silhouettes of monsters moving through the birch trees. And then I was like, what if you could shoot it? And I took that other prototype and just kind of glued them together and then gave it a revolver. And I was like, oh, shit.
In the dark, yes.
Thank you.
Right. And, you know, there was the aforementioned fuck you, get good that Lester brought up earlier. Why are you making me reload each bullet manually?
In this?
Like, do you know my life? Do you think I want to fuck over Andy a little bit more today with this game?
That's been on our whiteboard since day one. It's just like, get Andy.
I'm with you on this. I'm with
he
you.
He was in the
state
game design doc and everything.
Yeah,
I
get it.
Publisher. No, Danny was mentioning it earlier. It's a kind of careful balance of you have to make a decision here. Do you want to reload? Do you want to aim? Do you want to shoot? Do you want to jump? It's really...
How does all this like play in together with the gameplay loop? Like, so it seems like decision making and how you want to approach each conflict is sort of your main gameplay mechanic, but what's the reward at the end of the tunnel for making, are there right or wrong decisions, or is it up to the player to figure out how they want to do something? Explain that philosophy a little bit.
So there are, it's pretty tight kind of puzzle design for each like little level. But you can, there are like multiple ways to like approach it, because you can approach it as like a pure platformer for some levels. And you're like really rewarded if you are a quick shot, like if you can like hit all six targets really fast. But yeah, it just kind of, it rewards just like kind of like that twitch reflex. But yeah, you can just, there are some levels like, no, you can, the gun will make this easier, or you can just like run through it if you're really good.
Seems like speedrunner like territory here, like something that speedrunners would really enjoy if they can, you know, start to understand patterns a little bit, know what the optimal way to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible. Have you heard from the speedrunning community about this game yet? And what are their, what has their feedback been?
We haven't, this, like, we just dropped it. We haven't had any speedrunners pick us up, but when we play test it, we definitely do see, like, I mean, their levels were like, I had like a very designed intent, like, oh, here's the right way to beat it. And then there's just, you know, those people out there who just like skipped everything and are just like, nah, I'm just gonna not. And like, I didn't change it. I didn't like get rid of it. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah. So like that, just see, you just be like, get bent. I'm gonna, I see what you're trying to do and I'm not going to deal with it.
There have been people cropping up in our little community, our friends and the friends who've been helping us and seen the journey so far. They've been like, post your times. What's your fastest time? I beat this level real quick. What do you got? They're starting to kind of stir up that kind of speedrunner energy there. Give them a couple of ideas of what we can do with that moving forward. But
we have a leaderboard on our Discord.
I can't make it past like five screens. Some of the fucking speedrunners are doing with them lives. I don't know.
It's only going to get worse, bud.
Oh, speaking about bud and things that make you high, I have a question for you both. What is the name of the drug that makes you think that a cactus is speaking to you? I need to know just for personal reasons.
I'm just gonna, I mean, what's your drink of choice, Lester? Because that's like,
I very much enjoy the cactus speaking to me. I have no reservations about
it. I don't think Andy's
normal.
Worried. I don't think he's
totally acceptable.
Sure. I don't think Andy's upset about it. I just think he wants to experience said.
I just need to know. Is it peyote? Like, what exactly do I have to take to make all the succulents in my house?
I was just going to say, is it
exclusive?
They're
all over the place.
I was just going to say, is it exclusive to the cacti, or does like a aloe plant also open up its consciousness and communicate to me all its desires?
So in the DLC, we're going to have some really talkative pine trees, and they're going to have a lot to sort out with you guys. But
yep.
Is that the headline? Is that the headline? Pine trees coming? Shot in the dark? DLC pack.
I don't know what.
Pre-order.
Writing that one down real quick.
Cough.
Don't
cough. DLC. So, what?
The game is out there. Obviously, what's the reception been like from people? Unlike us two idiots.
It's been really, and Lester can attest to this. It's been this like really like lovely combination of like, hey man, this is like a really good game and I'm really proud of you. Eat shit and die.
Right. I was part of that that group of people who responded.
Sure.
He was like one of the like constant play testers, and he's just like, this is a great, and just fuck
me
off.
Cursing up a storm the entire time, cursing directly at him. That's why he put me through that.
Is that the magic sauce for a game like this? Because, you know, indie games, they've had a rep for a long time. That rep sort of got revitalized with some say it was the indie arcade, but I really think it was the Nintendo Switch that really turned indie gaming into being like a mainstream section of gaming. Like people have their AAAs, but then they're also really excited about Hades, you know, like that's something that's been happening now. Is that the magic sauce for the smaller companies now to just find a niche and kind of hit it and just hope to find that like hook that little section of an audience as opposed to trying to throw spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks, like just casting out a wider net?
I mean, we kind of do a little bit of both because we do experiment a lot, but then we kind of find those like little niche. But I think a big thing of what I do when I'm thinking about like a game concept, I don't have the resources or like the knowledge to like push like just a normal platformer. Like that genre is like Celeste in my mind is like the new benchmark.
Sure.
And I'm not going to add more to that conversation. That's like decades of like experience of like pushing that goalpost further and further. So I kind of, I like try to avoid those spaces. So like, we just try to experiment and find something that hasn't been done before and that's interesting and good and fun. And that's kind of like interesting, good and fun. And that's kind of what happened with, that's what we do with our games. Like our first game, Sword and the Slime, was really weird. I'd like has a really wonky control scheme. And same thing with Shot in the Dark is I haven't seen this particular combination of mechanics. So yeah, we try to find those unexplored little corners.
What are your respective roles within the company? What do you do? For example, Denny, what's your key role in making all this magic come together?
So we have that like kind of traditional split dynamic. I'm the artist predominantly. I also have like handled a lot of like game design, moving forward, like, and like starting off, but yeah, Lester.
I'm the programmer. I make it all work more or less, as Teddy said a little bit before the show. I contribute to the game design. I do not contribute to the art.
And he's also like handles a lot of our publisher roles, like anything that like is organization, like important, like Lester handles it, and I make it look pretty.
that actually brings up a good point, because since you just kind of dropped it now, essentially your hardest part of the development cycle was in the middle of a global pandemic. What's that been like for you guys? Like, I understand working remotely, that may not have really affected you, but like now that you're touching the outside world to get the game out there and to show it off and like stuff like that, how has that affected you the past like 7, 8, 9 months?
It's been weird. So like a bit of a little bit more about our story is we actually, Shot in the Dark was part of a incubator program at a local college, RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology. So we actually, like, I pitched Shot in the Dark to them and they're like, yeah, you can use our resources and we'll help you out. So that was actually a big life-changing moment. And that started back last December. So like I quit my crummy day job and was like doing that full time. And then like everyone, that was going for a few months. And then spring break, everyone left. And then that's when everything started and they just closed everything down. Mm-hmm. So it went from being like, and like before I was like a solo indie in a little box. And then I was like, oh, I'm working in an office. This is great. And then it's just like, nope, go back to your box. So we're, but all that being said, the industry has been really, been able to adapt really easily.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you want us to sit inside and mess with video games all day? I'm like, all right.
You know, I could think we could pull that off.
Dang.
Yeah.
Keep doing as I'm doing all day, every day. So
yeah. Exactly.
I could do this.
It did definitely affect in the fact that all the showcases were just completely
absolutely.
So we could go out there, show the game, get some real in-person play tests. We've made do with online supplements and playtest videos and all that stuff, and interacting through our Discord and our community, as well as just the virtual showcases as well. So those are the challenges we faced, but for the most part, development and kind of getting the game running in the back end didn't really take too much of a hit with quarantine and everything. Working remotely came natural to us, as Denny mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, because, you know, we miss things like our PAX Easts, for example, where we get to see games like this, like have a chance to be on a show floor and get that level of exposure they just can't get in this current hellish, this hellscape that is our reality lately.
we have gotten into a, there are like the pivot has been pretty good to like online showcases, and like those have been a nice stand-in. Not the same, but it's like,
yeah,
we still have some reach. But also on top of it, people are at home and, you know, they have nothing else to do. So, I mean, games kind of fit that slot. It's like, oh, I got nowhere to go. We got something for you.
So that's kind of like, I mean, that's been the story with a lot of indie devs, is that, you know, you adapt, you still put your head down, you do your thing. Like, it obviously has affected major publishers and major studios a lot more. Just to get that kind of equipment in people's homes, you know, that you would have it at your desk and all that stuff. What's the scene like up in Rochester? Because that's one of the things we like to ask around, because you don't hear of a lot of games being made in Rochester. You don't hear about it in really Brooklyn, where I live, or at Queens, where Andy is in New York. Like, you just don't hear about it in New York as much. Yes, there's Rockstar, but it's more their like legal spot, like their art department. Like, they don't really have they're not making the game, they're not doing like the VO and the programming over here in New York. It's just not that kind of scene. What's it like up there? Is it just kind of the only reason why you're up there is because that's where you live, or is there a little budding scene that we don't know about? What can you tell our listeners about the scene up there?
It's a little bit of both. That yes, like I'm a native to Rochester, but there really is a there really is an awesome budding scene that's going on here. It's kind of, we have like this kind of trifecta of, so RIT, where we went to the Magic Incubator program, they have like I think they like rank in like the top five of like game development programs in like the nation.
Wow.
So there's a lot of people who are coming to learn game design professionally, like students. So there's always talent going there and hanging out. We have like a couple local studios, like based here in Rochester. They're smaller, but like they have, you know, pretty good sized teams. And on top of, and then next to that, there is Rock Game Dev, which is the kind of like the umbrella that everything is under. Like where all the indies and like the studios and the students all like come together. We even recently, before all of this went down, got like a co-working space, right in the center of downtown Rochester. So there is a really solid core group of, developers here. Has like a really good, I can't speak enough to the healthy environment that everyone creates here. It's very like extremely anti-crunch. Sure. And like make sure to like look out for each other, and just a lot of the stuff that you hear about in the industry as a whole, like it's just like we shut it down, and it's like it's just this golden little bubble that we exist in, and I just happened to live here and I was like, I ain't going nowhere.
Nice. you see it growing, you see it becoming something that's a little bit more than just the like this little tight-knit community. Do you see it starting to bloom in some ways?
Yeah, no, we're definitely getting more attention for like the like Rock Game Dev community. I mean, our space is growing, like we do more events.
Yeah, just like a few years ago, we didn't have the space, so I do think it's growing. It's very amenable to having people come on board. I was one of the guys, that's how actually we met, actually. I was just interested in game dev. I heard there was some people meeting up to talk about it, make some stuff, show some stuff. We worked on a couple games together. And we made Possum House together. Well, I joined Possum House after he made Possum House. But not only that, in Buffalo, this Buffalo game space there, we also have relations, connections there that share the same kind of ideas and thoughts. Just general Northwestern New York. I'm from the Bronx myself. I'm not a Rochester native, but
damn, we got three boroughs.
Wow,
three boroughs representing right around
all
here.
Of New York, essentially, in one place.
Yeah. Amazing.
Park. What's that smell? It's Staten Island. It's Staten Island. That's what that smell is. That's what that smell is. So it's over there somewhere. We don't like that.
Did you always see yourselves as game devs? Like, was it a childhood dream? Like, could you say, oh, I want to make the next so-and-so one day, or this seems like a cool job to get into? How did you go down this path of making games as a career?
I'm actually interested to hear Lester's answer to this. I've not asked him this myself.
I kept it close at heart for this particular moment. I graduated as an engineer and all that, and that took up way too much time in my college career. But I got to play around with game dev after graduating, and it was a lot of fun.
I'm sorry. What does that mean?
Yeah,
how do you play around with that? Like, is that like you just looked for some free software and was just messing around, or like there you had a friend that was making something, or like how does that work?
You pretty much described it, right? You find some free software, start seeing what you can make out of it, start seeing if it's fun. It's not, most likely, because it's the first time, but it was great. You created something, and it just gives you that inspiration to see what else can I do? What else can I make?
Sure.
Other crap games can I make to start, you know, working through the rust and learning all that stuff? I started playing around with that. I met the Rock Game Dev community, learned a hell of a lot more. But I'm making some jam games. Jams are really a good way to go.
So fun.
Usually stressful. Stressful as hell.
A lot like your game. Stressful as hell.
Yeah, we try to project that forward. I try to project our own experience forward when we try to put our games out. So, you know, yeah.
Makes sense.
It's all about sharing experiences.
Dennis, you look like somebody who had a marble notebook of like weird level designs as a kid.
That's not too far off. I actually started as like an illustrator, like kid, like I wanted to make comics. Turned out that's actually really hard and miserable. But games in my mind are always something that like, I don't know, like other smarter people did. Like I was I don't know how to do that.
I always mentioned that it was like, when you knew that your games came from Japan, Japan felt like another planet.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh no, only the Japanese know how to make video games. Right. Like, yeah, we don't do that here. Doom? What do you mean Doom? What is Doom? Right. Oh dear God. No, this isn't video games. This is scary. This is spooky. No, that's.
Give me plumbers and green dinosaurs. That's all I need. The extent of it.
Oh, give me the sticks that come together and make the sticks disappear.
Give me a guy with a sword. And sticks.
I don't know what's happening over there in Japan, but they're making magic. They're making magic.
Wait, didn't the sticks come from Russia?
I played it on a Japanese machine, so I just so. I literally there was no existence of video games outside of anywhere that wasn't Japan. Like to me, everything came from Japan, and I'm talking about like as a 5, 6, 7 year old. And they're like, "What is Japan?" I don't know, because the only other thing I knew about Japan is that they had a giant lizard destroying everything. Those are my only analogs to the Japanese culture. It was the Nintendo and Godzilla. Like, what does a child know about the world? Nothing, zero. Oh, man. Anyway, go ahead, Dennis. I'm sorry. I derailed that shit real good.
Oh, that was fantastic. I was here for it. Thank you. But yeah, no, I just always thought that was something other people did. I'm like, I don't know. I live in Rochester. It's just dark and gray and nothing happens here. But
then you played around with some game dev.
Then it was around the time when a lot of indies got the same ideas. Like, what was it? Like Limbo and what was the other one with the time?
Stopping. Bastion.
Yeah, Bastion. Like all like that in the 2000s when like those came out and like indies were like a thing. And I was like, oh, I could do that. And yeah, I found some free software and essentially just like hit my head against programming since then to now. And it didn't get much better, as you can ask Lester, because the big thing that I brought him on for, like literally first,
and
like,
that's why I just do art.
Yeah, and this is working with like a program. I work with Construct 3, which like takes care of a lot of that for me. I still don't know how to write a line of code. And even then I was still like, Lester, can you look under the hood and make sure this thing will run? Because I am not confident. I pixel art and jumped in.
I gotta say, I was like a little taken aback when I first booted up the game and I saw Construct. I was like, oh shit, I haven't seen that engine ever. It's always like a Unity or like an Unreal or like maybe an RPG Maker. I'm like, who the fuck uses Construct?
Yeah, the big thing behind that is that like I've heard it compared to like, I don't know, what's it called, like Scratch for kids, where it's just like if then statements.
Right.
So it's super simple, which was perfect for me because I went to school to learn how to paint. Mm-hmm. So like I don't know how computers work. And somehow I made a game. I don't know how I did that either.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, it's a teeny tiny little box on my screen. I got to hit maximize. Oh.
Yeah, we're working on that one.
One of those games.
Not bad.
Listen, kids out there, all you dumb idiots out there that don't that think you don't know how to make games, that you think it's scary, you can figure it out. Just go out there, start downloading shit and messing with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, be careful what you're downloading, but you know.
Yeah,
what I mean.
that's a question.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
You know, that's actually a good segue, Steven. Scariness, things that scare you, spooky things.
Spooky things. I don't like it.
This game has a horror backdrop to it. There's a cowboy, and then there's like zombies.
Terrifying. Cowboys are awful.
And then there's like Bangalore motherfuckers with giant teeth coming at you.
Teeth.
Where did that come from? This game's, there's like pentagrams at some point.
Why are you trying to scare us, bro? Why are you trying to give us nightmares? Why can't you just make us a nice little pixel art shooty shooty bang bang game? Why are you trying to do this?
Are you fans of horror, or just thought that, you know what, this feels like the right setting for the game we're trying to make?
So this is gonna be a really boring answer.
I love it already.
So like mechanically, when I came up with that idea of like, oh, what if I could shoot back? And I was like, how do I like clearly like limit the amount of like bullets? So you're not just like, you know, clicking everywhere and like da 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 da. And I was like, oh, like a revolver, like it only has 6 shots. It's a pain in the ass to reload. I'm like, okay, duh. So it's gotta be a Western. And then I just like monsters in the dark. So I just like horror. So I just ran with, I just had an excuse to make a bunch of like simple spooky things, because that's just my jam. And I just had an excuse to play with it. So yeah, that's it. Cult stuff's cool.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I mean, it's a simple question. Sometimes the answer is just as simple. You made a scary game. Do you like scary shit? Yeah, I do. Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Yes, that was boring. Moving on.
So, Andy, thanks for bringing us on.
Andy, why don't you ask me, hey, you do podcasts. Do you like podcasts?
I do. Yeah. I really,
like,
do.
We do. We enjoy speaking and listening to people speak.
Do you guys like video games? I heard that you like video games as well.
It's kind of a misconception, you know. That's because we've...
yeah, it's kind of...
Well, you know, it's funny because Denny here doesn't like games where you die instantly, yet he fucking made one.
Yeah, no, I
aspect.
I hate hard games. I put everything on easy. Like, I look at Super Meat Boy and I'm just like, no thanks. Celeste, I was like, this is great, not gonna beat it. And it's not that I set out to make a hard game. Like, I wasn't like, fuck all you guys. It was just like, oh, I'm playtesting it. If I can beat a level, that means anyone can beat it. So I better make sure this is hard for me. And then it turned into like the hardest, like, you know, rage quit game I've ever made. And I was like, oh, whoops.
Jeez. I mean, when you know how the machine works. Even if it's very complex, a complex machine, if you're the one that built the machine, it's going to be a little easier to you, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, I'm playing it literally every day. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I can't be a game dev now. I'd be like, oh, this is like, I did it. I could totally beat it. And I'll be like, this is the easiest game ever made with the simplest puzzles ever thought of. What idiot made this one? But it was hard to me.
Shut up.
Shut up.
It's
hard
for everyone.
It was actually much harder before launch, and there were times where I was like, oh, I'm gonna like just take this out. My bad. I'm sorry.
when it comes to difficulty in this game, is it the mechanics that are getting in the way of the ease, or is it the design? Like the actual design of what is laid out in front of you, that it was just too difficult. Like, is the puzzle too hard, or is juggling the you know, 6 bullets or the darkness or whatever, that's the difficulty part?
I got this.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. The answer. He said yes. He's all of the above. All of the above. Okay. Got it.
I will say is, once you get over, it's not like a Resident Evil, like original Resident Evil kind of like difficulty, where it's the controls, or like once you get used to this kind of unique control scheme, people tend to like click with it. Once they get there, like, oh, all right, yeah, I got it. But the difficulty comes from like, there's just not a lot of time to deal with a lot of the problems that are coming at you. Like you'll have like snipers who are like, they'll have like a crosshair chasing you the whole time. So you have to deal with that. And then just the fact that everything's visually obscured. So it really does come from the design of the levels themselves are just like meant to like just throw as many obstacles at you as I can.
That's where you pulled back from the difficulty. You pulled back on how much you were throwing at the player.
Yeah, there was one level I made where there's, so I have like these train levels that are just like essentially go from one of the train to the other. And I was like, there were bullets coming at the player that you had to like shoot the bullets out of the air. And it was just this one long gauntlet of a train, and only one playtester beat it. And I was just like, okay, I just literally cut the train in half and was like, this is like now like three levels. So I tended to be for 90% of the game. I was like, all right, I got to be a little aware and like kind of like dial things down a bit. Like there was one level where, so like the whole thing is you can't see these enemies, right? So one of the hardest levels in the game is just where there's like only like little white blades of grass on the ground. So you can only see like little pixels of their feet moving.
I went on a rant with those. I was like, I got through that to that level and I'm seeing the monster come in, but I didn't barely see it, right? Everything is dark. I see just feet on those blades of grass. I counted the amount of pixels this guy gave us.
It was
two pixels. Two pixels to determine that there's an enemy there. The only two pixels.
Wow.
And I was just like, how could you just give us two pixels?
Get wrecked.
So when you're making, when you're making your adjustments, like on the fly, and you're like, oh, I got to pull back on that. Is that a communication between you and Lester where you're just like, hey, make it five bullets instead of 12?
Hey.
Like, are you able to just go in and just be like, dial? Like, how does that, it feels like a non-stop stream of communication going between the two of you, like just to make like some minor adjustments.
I mean, it really was just like having seeing how the playtesters reacted. And I was just like, whoops, and pissing off people I got to hang out with every day. I was just like, my bad. So unless you have anything else to add to that, Lester,
we both have access to the product. We can either one of us can make those adjustments. I definitely have my own complaints every time I run through a playtest, but.
So Lester, when you see something that's bullshit and you know it's bullshit, you're like, you're just looking at it, you're like, really? That's nah.
Yeah, no, convince you why we should have
open up his command, fucking adjust bullet speed on this shit right here.
Control like, A, delete.
First question is always why, Denny? Why? Just why?
Hey man, made a few adjustments. Game's not ass now, thanks. Control S, save.
Whatever you're doing, don't do that again, please.
All right, so now that you dropped this thing on the world, what are your plans going forward for it?
Right now, just kind of shouting about it from the rooftops. Hi, thank you for having us.
Welcome to our rooftop.
Just like getting it out there, just as many. We just want people to play it. Sure. We would love to see some like speed runs of it. Like we want like I want to see the first person who beats this game. Like there's one achievement, which is called the Long Night, which is you beat the whole game without dying.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm like, in one go, I'm just like, come on, I want someone to do it.
All right. Why do
and...
you hate people? what did people?
I
do
got
to
some
you?
Work to do.
What did people do to you? Like, I mean,
Steven,
we don't have to open up cans of worms here, but like, completionists out there are really not going to like that whatsoever.
I know there are people out there who like are really messed up and want that kind of challenge. Sure. I'm like, I don't want to do this, but I know you do. So
it's
here's this twisted gift.
Oh, that's what it is. You're giving us what we want.
Yeah.
Get it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I want to feel like shit while I'm playing a video game. Yes. Thank you.
That's what people have been saying. Like I said, at the top of the podcast is just like, oh, this is great. Eat, just die.
gentlemen,
we also
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. We also would like to have more content for this game. Cough, cough, cough. But we're indies and we're taking it one day at a time. But yeah, hopefully there will be more shot in the dark down the road.
Sweet. All right. That now all that bullshit's out of the way. Now the real stuff. Now what we really want to talk about. Okay.
Here we go.
It's time for rapid fire. This is where we're going to get to know you. We're the interviewers here. Wait, I think we were the whole time, but whatever.
Sure.
We're going to ask you some silly shit, and we're going to get you some dumbass answers from you. Okay? That's how we're going to do this. That's how we're going to do with this. Okay? How do you prefer your mac and cheese? With a cheese sauce or a cheese powder?
Cheese sauce.
Uh-huh.
Cheese powder, and I'll throw more cheese in it.
Both? Is that an option?
It's not sauce. I just tell us, like, you know, like the shredded cheese. I'll throw it in there and just melt it in. Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know we had Chef Gordon Ramsay over here. I didn't know.
Fucking Chef Boyardee.
Maui dough.
When you're getting dressed to go about your day, is it sock, sock, shoe, shoe, or sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
It's sock, shoe.
Thank God.
Yeah, sock, sock, shoe, shoe. Anything else is heinous and wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When you go to sleep, do you have a fan on? Do you put a fan on when you sleep? We have a hat.
No fan. I'm fanless.
Okay.
What is something you believe without evidence?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I got to think about that one. Oh, man. This one's tough.
Red is the best color. Unarguably.
Oh. Okay.
Crap. All right.
That's a good one.
I'm panicking. Lester, help me out. I got nothing. I don't know.
He thinks black is the best color.
You know what? Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. There it is.
Go with that. Okay.
I mean, sure. What mm-hmm. Whatever. What is the thing that you have evidence of that nobody would believe?
Ooh, the reverse. That's a tough question. What happened?
That is a tricky one.
Nobody would believe.
I have all these ballots, Steven, that are unaccounted for.
Just going to hide those.
Massive fraud.
I guess you could always find somebody that's going to believe some bullshit. So.
Right. Or how about this? What if you convince someone of that's totally ridiculous, that's not true at all, but they thought it was real? How about that?
Oh, I once years ago convinced someone I was a foreign exchange student from Ireland with a really bad Irish accent that I'm not going to do on the podcast, even though I just teased it. Mm-hmm. But I had them going for like a good 2 hours. And I was just like, yeah, no, just got off the boat. It's nice over here.
That's funny because I think Steven's next question is, do your best Irish impression.
I don't got anything for that one. That's all you, Denny.
Lester, what's that thing that's like, you know, that you can do that no one can prove or what they don't dare ask you to do?
It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
It's not the worst one, but you know.
No.
Pretty good.
Only mildly offensive, but anyway.
Steven.
Yeah, what?
Please.
Gotta ask me what?
No.
Is
your
it my
question.
Turn?
It's your turn.
Do I really? Okay. Is cereal a soup?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm gonna go with no.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotta say no, because like soup is like hot. Like, no. Nah, I don't want hot
that
cereal.
This cold soup. This cold soup.
Agree to disagree.
There's plenty of cold soups out there.
See, that's something I have evidence of, but like, no one can believe.
So. There we go. There it is.
Hey.
That's what we call touchstones. Conversational touchstones. That's what that is. Callbacks and whatnot. Andy.
Watershed moments here on the podcast. Indeed. Would you rather have edible spaghetti hair that regrows every night, or would you rather sweat maple syrup?
Oh, my God. Wow. Oh, no.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, man. I'm just trying to think which one's more inconvenient because they're both terrible. And like, I guess I would have to like deal with the hair and just go bald every day.
I think the hair is the least inconvenient because you can manage that. sweat maple syrup, you get sticky all the time.
All the time. Nothing good about that. Would you rather be able any place in the world for exactly 3 minutes at a time, or any place in time for exactly 3 minutes at a time?
I want to say world.
Yeah, I'm going to world myself as well.
Microtourism.
Good answer.
That's a really good answer. A pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
I'm indifferent. I worked at a calzone shop. We put everything in calzones, so nothing shocks me anymore.
He's desensitized. I would not eat fruit on a pizza now.
Right.
It's okay. Listen. Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
I wouldn't mind hovering around a little bit. just meow. Don't have to walk anywhere.
Invisible, though. I'd rather fly, though.
If you try hard enough, you could be invisible.
Right.
You're not flying anywhere.
Blending with the crowds. We learned that from games like Assassin's Creed, Stealth.
Or Marvel movies. Just put on a hat and you're good.
Right.
Put on a beige hat. Face that some bitch forward. You're good to go. Nobody will know. Nobody.
Or, just be my mom's kid. Moving on.
Wow. Seems like you touched a little touch of something there. But,
goodness gracious.
We'll move on.
Would you rather have one real get out of jail free card or a key that unlocks any door?
A key that unlocks any door. Isn't that something they did in a movie once?
Possibly.
Yeah, well, I'm going with the key.
Now, is that any one door or any door ever?
It's any door ever.
Oh, wow.
The door to your house, the door to the bank vault.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just like, man, I don't want to, I don't need to bring.
It's the ultimate skeleton key.
What if you just draw a chalk door on a wall? Can you open that door?
See, that's some Beetlejuice shit right there.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I am here for that.
Yeah, I got to take the key because I'm boring again. I just don't want to get locked out. I don't even want to break into anything. I'm just like, I'm stuck out of my house.
Get philosophical with that. What is a door? What do you define as door?
We just want to experiment with this key. That's all we want to do. Let's find out what is a door.
If you were a professional wrestler, if you were a professional wrestler, what would your name be?
Oh, dirty. Oh, man. Hold on. Wait. This is actually running joke.
He's very ready for this answer. Yeah.
Oh, I'm the pizza boy. That's my whole shtick is that I deliver pizza to the wrong place. I walk in the wrong door, and I wind up at the ring.
I think you're confusing wrestling with porn.
Yes. Oh no! Oh no! Yes. Oh no! That was the oh no! Oh well, I goofed. Oh, there goes that
a
one
large
joke.
Pepperoni.
Hey.
Who are the extra sausage? No, wait. Denny.
Yes.
I want you to say that line, who ordered the extra sausage, but with an Irish accent.
Oh, my God. I walked into all of this. So I have no one to blame but myself. I'm blaming all of you, but I acknowledge my fault in this. But
sure.
All right, then. All right, who ordered the extra large sausage or pizza? I don't know. That's all you're getting out of me.
That's it. That's all we ask. That's all we can possibly ask for you. Lester, what is your wrestling name?
You know, I don't know. Denny, what do you think? You were so prepared, so I figured.
I'm so prepared. You look good in a luchador mask. Gotta get something like that.
El Luchador. I think that's
You know, you could probably just take L-E-S from your first name and just make it Le and just be Le Rey.
There you go.
There you go.
I think that would work.
Le Rey.
Like it. He's a French luchador.
Yep.
So he's flipping around the ring with class. You know what I mean? And is totally judgmental of everyone.
Steven, I love this question so much, but mental note for next time.
Uh-huh.
For two guests,
uh-huh.
Make them name each other.
Ah, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one.
How we could help.
Go ahead, Andy. Hit him up with another question.
What word best describes you when you're drunk?
Encouraging.
One word. morose. Sorry. <Wow.
laughs> Okay. Figured it out. If you were to choose a different career path, which would you choose?
Bartending.
I've done that. That's cool.
Like I said, education. Encouraging. Yeah, education. Teaching, something like that, okay. I guess. Yeah.
You've both been hard at work making your latest game.
That's a great assumption.
And you've had little time to clean your fridge out. Mm. Now, would you rather have one of you make a sandwich for the other with four items from that stinky fridge, or have a total stranger make you a sandwich with four items from that stinky fridge? Who do you trust more?
Oh no, I trust. Honestly, I trust.
Yeah, just I'll have Teddy do that.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Oh, we're good.
God,
Steven, always pick the stranger.
Oh no, I'm absolutely picking the stranger. I am absolutely picking the stranger.
Letting you know.
There's no. I don't even have to. Like, would you like Andy to know? The answer is I don't even care what the question is. No, I don't want Andy doing anything.
No,
at all. Oh man, what else? What else do we have here? I'm trying to think of some of our usual ones that we like to get good answers from. Super strength or super speed?
I like super speed.
I'll take strength. I just want to pick things up, put them down.
Nope, just want to be everywhere fast.
What?
I got nowhere to go.
What do you think people notice about you?
Big anxiety energy.
I have no idea.
If you guys haven't picked up on that, this whole podcast, big old anxiety energy.
Right. So good, though. It's really good.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
48.
1,307.
What is the size of your Tootsie Pop, sir?
Yeah. That's a very bold. That's also a porno line, I think, as well.
What category does that go under? That fetish? How many licks? ... Nobody knows. The world may never know. Find out now. Click here.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time you hugged someone?
2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago.
Oof, it's been a bit. I don't even know. Yikes.
Oh my God. Shit.
What is
now it's getting deep.
What is
that? He's devoid of human contact.
What is the dumbest way you've injured yourself?
I love this question.
Jungle gym. Thinking I could climb faster than, other kids. I landed on myself.
You landed on yourself.
On yourself.
Broke some bones, yeah.
Oh, good lord. How does one land on themselves?
Skillfully, I like to say. Strategically.
Gracefully.
Did you scorpion tail? Tail?
That's another one. I did that.
You ever do that where you fold down as a kid and your back legs hit you in the back? And you're like, oh, no.
I haven't pulled that one off
my
yet.
My tum-tum.
I've done a lot of dumb stuff, but I somehow, miraculously have not injured myself despite, statistics. I don't know. Oh, no, I actually, here's one. I slid off my, so my grandmother was a lovely lady, and she had me shovel her roof in, after a blizzard, and I straight up at the peak of the roof just slid and just went right down and just landed just fell, head first in a snowbank. It was very cartoonish, and everyone laughed.
Oh, laughed. Okay, good.
Good.
Must have been a lot of snow, hopefully. A lot of snow. Hopefully, Grandma didn't have a lot of garden gnomes with those pointy hats.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, but she told me to get back up and get back up there. I was like, thanks. Thanks, Nah.
Thanks a lot. All right, Andy. Do one more, and then I'll take us home. Yeah.
If you had the power to shrink anything and take it with you, what would it be? And I swear to God, don't say each other.
Well, that's off the table.
Oh man, I don't know now.
Can you unshrink it? Is it permanently shrinked?
Yes. No, okay. You can undo it.
No, yeah, it's an Ant-Man situation. Yeah. You know?
Exactly, exactly.
Ah, okay.
Capsule core nonsense. Okay. I want to say my desktop just because I currently can't afford to buy a nice laptop. So
it's practical.
Yes.
No, the entire desk setup, just the office, the right workstation. Just...
I like it. Final question, and probably the most important question, not of the day, but of your lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ready for this.
You may have had to decide what college you were going to go to. Mm-hmm. You may have had to decide what doctor to see for an illness or whatever. Big decisions. Maybe a loved one is on life support and you had to decide whether or not you're going to unplug it. Maybe you had that decision to make, not as important as this one. I'm telling you right now, ever in the history of questions, have you ever gotten a question this important?
Got it.
I hope you understand the gravity of the situation. And this time,
got it.
This time, Andy.
Yes, Stephen.
I feel like our energy might improve the answers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I feel you.
The question is, aside from where does our guest keep going? Where does Danny keep going? simple question. It is a binary question. There are two answers. Okay. Steven or Andy?
All right, thanks for having us, everyone.
Good. We really appreciate it. It was really a lot of fun hanging out with you guys.
Tune in every week. We have this show.
I mean, it's a simple question. A baby can answer
it. We should have the guests do housekeeping if they refuse to answer.
That's true. I'll give you guys the show doc.
We're gonna ping you the script. Read this, you can get the hell out of here.
I actually like this. I like that answer so much so that I'm actually gonna bring us home to the end of the show.
I agree.
Thank you so much, listeners, for hanging out with us. If you want to follow us on social media, on Twitter, we are at @duel_screens. We are also at NDS Podcast on Instagram, and I am at BatChild27 on everything. Andy is at PantsGuy. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. Our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, and our YouTube, which you may be watching this on, is youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Gentlemen, where could everybody follow you guys, follow everything you're doing, follow Shot in the Dark, all that fun stuff?
The big one is you'll find everything, our Twitter, our Instagram, all that stuff. If you just go to possumhousegames.com, you'll find a link to all that in our Discord. Lester, anything else there?
I was going to cover the Possum H Games at Twitter. Discord's on the possumhousegames.com. Instagram at possumhousegames. Social, everything. Links are in the website. You'll find it.
Awesome. That's you the beauty find, of the internet these days, you know? Find anything.
And you can find Shot in the Dark on both Steam and itch.io. So you can just load up Itch and play the demo right in the browser. So
sweet.
That's where you can find the game.
Awesome. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the show today. We will be back at it again next week with another great indie dev guest. Andy, can we share that next guest? Do we have some on tap, something to look forward to for our listeners?
Not quite. I think it's Yacht Club Games talking about Cyber Shadow.
Okay.
I can't confirm it just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because that game is coming out on Tuesday.
Yes.
So that is likely
on that Media Blitz.
Right.
God knows they need to get on that Dual Screens podcast.
Yes. Yes.
That's high on the list.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Andy, because I don't know why you wouldn't be a gentleman. Thank you, listener. Thank you, viewer.
Many
this
reasons.
The Dual Screens podcast. And as always, please be excellent to each other.